disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
A life down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Of you taking notes, we've got a title this evening that we're going to look at. God's grace is sufficient for the deeper life walk. God's grace is sufficient for the deeper life walk. And I believe that what we have received over the years, which really is just the gospel, but the deeper life is God's divine plan for the closing age. And the main principle of the deeper life, which we have been taught and are continue to be taught, is to get us fundamentally to believe. To believe God, to believe in his faithfulness, believe in his word, to believe that that work which he's begun, he will fulfill and complete. And this takes time to get this, as we know, from our heads to our hearts. And so the title tonight is God's grace is sufficient for the deeper life walk. God's grace is sufficient for the deeper life walk. We're all aware, aren't we, that we have to be called to walk with God. That is to fulfill the training that is required with regard to the deeper life. All the saints from the time of man falling into sin has been divinely called in which to be able to walk the walk that is set before him or her. And the way we know we're called from the foundation of the world is that we believe and that we stay with it, and that we overcome and that we endure. So these are all the signs that we're called from the foundation of the world, because if God doesn't do that divine work, no man, no woman will walk with God. It is impossible. Period. It is impossible. But God has provided through Jesus Christ. And how he works this on our behalf in many ways is a mystery. You will never really work out how God preserves and keeps us in this walk, in the trials and the tests, and our walk of faith. But we know at the end of it that God has been faithful. He's not let us down. He has brought us through, and it's all for his glory and for his name. But if you try and analyze it and try and work it out, it is a mystery. We can't fully understand, because it is completely contrary to our intellect, our mind, our flesh, us as human beings. But the power of the Holy Spirit working on our behalf, you either know that in your life or you don't. And yet, when we do know it, it is still hard to try and explain how God revives, how he raises us up, how he delivers us in our mind and attitude and those things that so easily defeat us. Well, we're going to look this evening at God's grace, which is sufficient for the deeper life walk. Let's turn to John chapter 6, John, the Gospel of John, chapter 6. And I want to primarily look tonight at verses 60 through to 71. Now, we know this chapter very well, because in this we see how Jesus, in his ministry, he's fed the 5,000. It's all really leading towards not only the physical food, but also the spiritual food. And then he reveals himself later on, walking on the sea, showing the miracles of God. And then he reveals himself as the bread from heaven, that heavenly manna. And then we come on to where his followers, his disciples, and he has many that follow him and were following him, and many were coming for the wrong reasons, just to get their bellies filled. But we also find that many of his disciples decided to walk no longer with him. So that's what this is leading up to. And many of those, of course, were Jews, were Jewish people. We know that because he's speaking about himself, presenting himself, giving himself, his flesh, his body, his blood, as an offering. Which, of course, for many Jews, to try and understand that intellectually, that was offensive. When you speak about blood and flesh and so forth. But we can look at all of those things later on. But I want to take this up primarily from verse 60 through to 71 of John chapter 6. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?" He's talking about giving himself up as an offering. He's talking about them eating his flesh and drinking his blood, that they will have eternal life. They're trying to desperately understand this in their own traditional ways, their carnal ways. We battled through many of these things and will continue to do so because we're trying to understand. Or sometimes we try to understand intellectually in the mind. And this is, of course, why we have the Holy Spirit who comes to lead and guide us, but are being led and guided into truth is a journey, is an ongoing thing. Sometimes we don't always see things straight off. We're still in the process of learning and having our minds and hearts open. And to assume that we know everything now is a very arrogant statement. We are still having things revealed to us. And we will continue to have this. And even in eternity, we will still have more and more of the revelation of God being revealed to us throughout eternity. It will never come to an end. So, this is why some people walk away, because they want to be in control intellectually. They want to understand and be in control with regard to God. But we worship God in spirit and in truth. And God is revelation, a divine revelation, which the Holy Spirit has to open our eyes and ears and heart in which to understand. This is why we pray that the Word of God will be illumined to us as he teaches us by the unction, the anointing. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?" There's the problem. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, "Does this offend you?" And of course, it was offending a lot of them. They were Jewish. This was a hard thing to understand what Jesus was referring to here. And you can read this in your quiet time, as to what he was saying there. And it goes on in verse 62, "What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. And so they are, because they are spirit, they are life. We have to be taught. The Holy Spirit has to reveal to us stage by stage by stage as we grow and mature. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless he has been granted to him by my Father. For that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Amazing. They went back with him saying that you have to be drawn by the Holy Spirit. He says in verse 65, therefore I've said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. And immediately after this, we then see many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. They didn't even understand what had been said there. Their minds and hearts had not even been opened. They could not see they were fulfilling exactly what Jesus was saying there. The very words that he spoke, they were acting upon and going back. Because they weren't hearing. There wasn't faith. They weren't believing that God has to call us. And you will know if you're called because you believe it. And you rejoice over it. And you give God all the praise and all the glory because you know that none of this lies in you. But they didn't know that. They couldn't hear it. On the next breath that Jesus spoke, they go off. Amazing, isn't it? Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? And here's the difference. But Simon Peter answered him, You have the words of eternal life. Now he spoke that by revelation. He didn't just say, you have the words, or you speak right. We like what you say. No, he says, you have the words of eternal life. The Father has revealed that to Simon Peter. And we also we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So he says, in a process of time, walking with you, we have now come to believe who you really are. And you have to be called in order for that to be achieved in your life. And Jesus answered them, did I not choose you and 12 and one of you is a devil? He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he who would betray him, being one of the 12. So Jesus had chosen the 12. How did he know? Because the Father showed him the ones to choose. As he is revealed from the Father, all those that are to be found in Christ. The Father revealed to him that you also should walk with him as a disciple and have eternal life. And the only way we know that we are called is that we stay with it. And this is why there will be a remnant who will stay with the deeper life and walk it. And much more over the years has and will be, if the Lord tarries, will be revealed with regard to the deeper life. But the basis of it is that we might believe. That's the question. And so we see from this chapter that many of the disciples were offended that he was referring himself to that manna sent from heaven. We know that, for example, in verse 55, for my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. That was an offense to a Jew under the old covenant. So many of them were offended. That's why they no longer wish to walk with the Lord. This was kosher to them. You see, the key to this chapter is in fact verse 64. But there are some of you who do not believe. Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. So that's fundamentally the key to all of this. They do not believe. Is it any different today? I think not. The Deeper Life teaching for many was offensive. And we won't go into all the reasons what people thought or whatever it was, but the dishonesty that was behind it was the fact that they didn't want to walk the conditions of the Deeper Life teaching that was presented to us. And so, of course, they make all different excuses, one of which to criticize an assembly, to criticize the preachers, and so on, or it's not scriptural, or whatever it would be. No different today from those times of when Jesus was there. See, human nature doesn't change, and certainly the devil doesn't. He simply just disguises himself as that angel of light. And so we find ourselves, brothers and sisters, still walking the Deeper Life walk, as ridiculous as it looks, because God has chosen us to do so, and from the foundation of the world. Now, the irony of this is we know who Jesus is. And so if we know who Jesus is, he said, do you want to go away? Because the Deeper Life teaching is presenting him. It's that open door that we go through into a deeper life and walk with him through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the goal and the aim and the vision is Jesus. It is fundamentally walking with him. The Deeper Life teaching is to teach us to walk with Almighty God. That is what sons do. Children don't walk the same as adults. If you've ever got children with you and you go for a walk, you watch how children walk in comparison to adults. They skip, they run, they stop, they are distracted so easily, or they run off. You find you've got to look for them. They don't walk the same as adults do. And we've got that spiritually that goes on today in the house of God. But we're called and we're being trained fundamentally to walk with Almighty God, to walk with him. How do we know? Because in verse 66, it shows us the difference. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. So they were learning to walk with him. They were seeing him visibly. They were following him. They were moving wherever he was, whatever place he was, they were there. That is exactly how we should be walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. We should be walking daily with him wherever he is. We should be there also as well. Let me put it very basically to you. Where is the Lord Jesus Christ walking this evening? Where is he residing? Where is he? Well, I can tell you, without any doubt, he's here tonight with us, together in this room. That's where he's to be found, and if you walk with him, that's where you're going to be also. This isn't rocket science. That's the problem, because it's so easy. This is why we so often miss it. But that's where he is. You see, the problem that we have so much today, that so many believers are devoted, not walking with him, but working for him. It's easier to work for God than to walk with him. It's very easy to get caught up in things that's got a Christian name to it, or it's Christian in work or in character. And it's not to say that we don't get involved if the Lord leads and guides, but it is easier to work for him than to walk with him. And that is why the deeper life is such a blessed teaching, because it is training us as sons, daughters, to walk with Almighty God. And there is a difference. You know, we can even hide in this assembly and not walk with him. So the question, the challenge tonight is, am I walking with God? Or am I missing this? Or am I avoiding walking with him in covenant, in fellowship? Because we can hide behind this. We can look devout. We can say all the right things, but the question is, am I walking with God in faith and obedience? Because that's the ultimate working of the deeper life. Because we have to maintain a oneness with him. It is that oneness that he's called us into. And that is what the bride who makes herself ready sees. It is that oneness that motivates her. It is that oneness that will make her go that extra mile. It is that oneness that will get her to walk by faith, no matter what it looks like and how ridiculous, and indeed it does. Because it's the oneness with him that's the ultimate revelation in this life of the deeper life walk. And that is why we have that wonderful imagery in Revelation 12, where the man-child in the womb of the woman is being prepared, is maturing, ready to be birthed. Birthed into what? Union and oneness with Almighty God. And that is why God has us hid away. That is why he has us separated, because he's teaching us oneness with him. That unbroken fellowship and unity. Now that takes the power and the baptism of the Holy Spirit in which to do ultimately that goal. It cannot be achieved otherwise, because we're too distracted otherwise. We want to do too many things for God to please him and do it our way. And that's why he's stripping us completely of any preconceived ideas, anything that we think it will please God or whatever it is. We know nothing unless he reveals it to us what will please him and what he wants. We absolutely know nothing, period. And that is why it is divine revelation in these last days that he's given to us. And the overcomers are the ones who are going to divinely hear the direct call and voice of God, just like Jesus did. And that call and that voice will never go contrary to his revealed word, but will always line up with it. So it is vital that we maintain this oneness with him. It's like a marriage, a husband and wife that walk together, do things together. They have chosen and committed themselves to become one, one flesh. That is the mystery that the Apostle Paul was revealing to the church in Ephesus. Now the question that I raise is, do you know that Jesus has walked with you this day, and that you have walked with him? As we later on put our heads down when we go to sleep, can you say that? Do you know that? Because that is ultimately what the deeper life walk, its goal. I walked this day with Jesus, and he walked with me. Doesn't matter where you went, doesn't matter how it looked, you know that you have that revelation that you walked with him and he walked with me in that oneness. Where he is, I too am to be found. That is the ultimate work God's training us for and bringing us into. So do you know that he's walked with you today? And it simply comes by believing verse 64. But there are some of you who do not believe. So it comes right down, yes, you guessed it, faith, believing. Do you believe that God has ultimately saved you to become a son, to walk with him in oneness, or not? You either believe that or you don't. You either settle that or you don't. Because if we don't settle that, we will be like the other disciples who then chose not to walk any further with him. Because that is the ultimate goal that's being worked in our lives. It's a complete dependence on him. I cannot do a thing without him. His support, his help, his strength, his guidance, everything. I'm totally, utterly, completely dependent on him. Now for some, that's terrifying. For some, that sounds totally crazy. And why? Because it's illogical. Man should be in control. I have been taught, educated to be in control. I'm in control when I drive my car. I'm in control when I prepare food for the family. I'm in control when I walk where I want to go. We're all the while, with our senses, ourself, we're all the while thinking that we are in control, yet we surrender all of that up. The very things that we think we're in control of, we surrender up to the will of God. That he takes over. Yes, even when you drive, he is the one ultimately driving. He is the one ultimately when I'm cooking. He is the one ultimately when I'm talking or sharing with somebody else. These are not simply words. This is something you enter into. It is an experience. It is a oneness with Almighty God. God is in control of me, period. That is the cross. That is commitment. That is the denial of the self-life. that yielding over. And if that is what you believe on, which is the deeper life, then the Holy Spirit, He will work that. He's promised. So you can completely rest in Him, that He has done this work and will complete and finish it. Because why would He reveal this to us if He couldn't do it? That would be completely contrary to His glory and His will, His power. So the very fact that He reveals this on our side of it, we choose and we have a will whether to believe or not. And they chose to no longer walk with God. They willed not to and went back. Now, when you see that sort of thing, you just cry out to God, Lord, please don't let me be one of them. Whatever it takes. And the Lord will work that, because He knows what is in our hearts. And let's remember that all of this is about God's glory. But the basis is verse 64, to believe. Complete dependence on Him. It's a complete devotion to Him. It's relying on the fact that the deeper life walk is His preparation for the end time. The deeper life walk, it's preparation in nature, which includes our trials. And we go through much trial and tribulation in which to enter into the kingdom of heaven, the book of Acts tells us. But not only that, it's also the delays to be found at times in this walk, when it seems as though God has forgotten, or He's forgotten me. Is it ever going to happen? Will it ever manifest? Oh, we all know that one. We all know that one. Yet walk with Him each day. Just walk this day, next day with Him. He hasn't forgotten. He's not deaf. He doesn't have a bad memory. Those uncertainties, those disappointments, they're all real to the overcomer, those walking the deeper life. All of these things that I've said, we've all of us experienced and probably will continue to. Because we're finding, aren't we, that faith requires all in the natural, those negative things, in which to get stronger and stronger in our lives. Blessings do not strengthen your faith. Trials strengthen your faith. And we will eventually get that from our heads to our hearts. So that, yes, it is a trial, and yes, it hurts, but you're ultimately going to say, amen to this, because this is making my faith stronger. And this trial is what is needed in order for me to be able to stand and believe for the following day, or believe for next week while the Lord Jesus Christ tarries. Why do you think God is working on our faith? He's working on it because He's tarrying. And because He's tarrying, we need that faith to continue this walk until He comes for us, He raptures us. The wise virgins need that faith, and they have it. And the way they have it is the oil of anointing. And it's through the trials and the tests, the delays, the disappointments. When, Lord? When will it happen? You haven't forgotten me. All of those emotions that we go through, wondering what it's all about. They're the very conditions in which faith gets stronger and stronger. Why is this so essential? Because verse 64 tells us, but there are some of you who do not believe. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. That was some of the basis of the deeper life that was given to us years back. And you will know if you believe, because he has walked with you and you have walked with him this day. And it's an experience. It's knowing that he is with you, speaking to you, guiding you, leading you. This is what he said he would do when he would come back to us, sending the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to take the place. But the secret to this, as I bring this to a close now, brothers and sisters, the secret to this is walking with Jesus. That is the ultimate goal. And let's remind ourselves in verse 70, where he says here, and Jesus answered them, did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil? So here it is, did I not choose you? God has made no mistake over your life, my life. God says, I chose you in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. That should be a source of great comfort, great anchoring in our lives, because we know this cannot be achieved in ourselves. I praise God every time I get up, every time I'm able to be able to even share the word with you, or even come into this room and have fellowship with you. I praise God for that, because he chose me to do it. It doesn't lie in me. We need to go give God all the praise and all the glory, but we don't always, because we still think we're in control. We're not. He is the one that's come to take over. And it is on the basis of simply believing. Whatever it looks, whatever circumstances, whatever they're saying about you, no matter how ridiculous you look, he has come to take over in your life. This is why John the Baptist was the great prophet that Jesus spoke of, because he saw something. I decrease, that he increases. And that is the principle. That is what the cross does. That is what the deeper life teaching does. So that you are preserved and kept by the power of God in your life. That unity, that oneness. You have now become one with him, in spirit, in nature. And even the flesh life is being brought into oneness as he cleans us up and delivers us. And much of our deliverance, we know, is in the mind. It is the thinking, the attitudes. That is what he's doing. And that is what should be your experience and my experience. And if it is, and there's a lot tonight, bless your heart, saying amen, then that is a clear sign you are walking with him and he is walking with you. Some sadly have lost that desire to praise and thank and worship the Lord. Don't let it be because you don't believe. if you believe, you cannot help but rejoice and speak out. And as the Lord said, if people won't do it, then the rocks and the stones will do it. Because it's something within you rises up to rejoice and praise God that He chose me in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. What a great and awesome and mighty God that we serve. Hallelujah. Father, tonight we thank you for speaking life into our heart and spirit. Thank you, Father, that you're ever showing us, Lord, that we're walking on the right path. You've made no mistake at all these years, even though you're tarrying at the moment. Yet, Lord, we're looking up as our redemption draws near. Father, we thank you that you first loved us. And as you've promised in your word that nothing will pluck us out of your hand, nothing separates us from the love of God. Let it be our experience, as we've heard tonight, that we walk each day with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we find ourselves walking in places or doing things that isn't right, then we have a clear indication He's not walking where we want to go. Help us to yield, to walk where you walk, and to do what you do, and to say what you say. Father, we ask this. We call upon your mercy and grace for this. In the mighty name of Jesus.
You would have me against all disaster. Let him in constancy follow.